to Free Mass, the Brian Cash Clause Coupon Book.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Is, but it's a return to hockey because the Tampa Bay Lightning are donning their skates tonight, I think, or this afternoon at 4 o'clock. They're going to be playing the Washington Capitals. I got my Tampa Bay Lightning shirt on right now in support. So hockey is indeed back. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. No, we're not a sports show. We just wanted to salute the fact that the NHL is going to try and play, I guess, the playoffs. These are actually the end of the 2019-2020 season playoffs. I think they're on, don't quote me yet, but I think they're either on, they're probably on the NBC Sports Network, if not the NHL Network on television. Anyway, good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works. I am indeed Paul Malloy, along with Big Ed Davis. Thank you for joining us. It's Monday, August the 3rd. In a few minutes, Ryan Young will be with us. He is with the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the gross domestic product. You hear that term thrown around quite a bit. If you listen to the news, you may not even know what it is. We're going to tell you what it is, and we're going to talk about the huge drop in it. It's like 33% from what everybody is telling you. But actually, it's not 33%. It's not the decline you may have heard about, according to Ryan Young. So stay tuned for that. And Joe Biden, extending his time now to select a vice presidential candidate. Didn't he say he was going to have a candidate figured out by the end of this past week? I think so. Well, now he's extending him 2 more weeks. Why? Who's it going to be? Will it make any difference? Why am I asking that question? Anyway, we're going to talk about that. And now Biden's former press secretary is saying, he's telling Biden not to debate Trump at all. Not at all. Now, how's he going to get away with that before November, right? So we're going to take a look at all of that. We're going to offer some thoughts. And a violent crime surge across the country, every major city and some mid-level cities. Going through it. Why? We're going to talk about that. And in our ultimate top 10, our last show we gave you the top 10 greatest movie heroes. Well, Turnabout is fair play. The top 10 greatest movie villains. Villains of all time. Let's see if Ed knows who is number one. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, take it from a guy that's been all over the place for a lot of years around here. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop, you guys. It's in Dunedin. It's in the Overcast Drive, Overcast Plaza on Overcast Drive. That's just north of State Road 580. But you got to call first, 727-733-3773. All right. So we got a lot of things going on, and I'm glad you found some hockey music. I think it was hockey music. It was either hockey music or it was the start of a Boris Karloff horror movie. I couldn't figure it out.
Actually, that is the music they play when the Lightning take the ice, because you heard our good friend Paul Porter, "Here Comes the Lightning."
You're right. You did, and I missed it. Very good, Ed. I asked Ed if we had any hockey music. This guy is incredible. Of course, he knows what he's doing. Ed used to be a big-time disc jockey, you know, and he still can figure out the best records at the best time. I rely on him so much. It's amazing. I want to, before we go any further, I got a plug. Good Morning Clearwater, and Paul and Tracy. They do such a wonderful job, and they're going to join us. They're going to join us on August the 11th. That's Tuesday. That's a week from tomorrow, friends, when we go over to the Republican headquarters in Palm Harbor on U.S. 19, and we're going to have all kinds of Republican people that are running for office in Pinellas County. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm just delighted that Good Morning Clearwater is going to make its base of operations that headquarters as well. So we're going to have a lot of fun between the hours of 8 and 11 a.m. on Tuesday, August 11th. All right. We got some weather, Ed, but apparently we're going to be okay. I got a sister up in North Carolina. I'm worried about her a little bit. What's the latest? Are we going to... is it going to turn into a hurricane again?
It might barely tick to 75, which is the minimum for a hurricane, so it would be Hurricane Isaias.
Excuse Gesundheit, by the way. Isaias?
Yeah, now that I've learned to say it, it's almost gone.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It is the weirdest name for a hurricane I've ever heard. Why did you...
Isaias.
Who came up with that?
I don't know. About 12 geeks in a room came up with the, coming up with the strangest...
Is that a... Isaias, it sounds like some sort of Mid-Eastern god.
Yeah,
god Isaias. You see it in a Flash Gordon movie.
The name doesn't scare anybody. We talked about that. If you name, you give a hurricane a name like Bubba, everybody runs.
You're right.
I'd run.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably move to Canada that week.
Yeah.
Bubba's coming.
What are some other great names for masculinity?
How about Hercules?
I like that one, too.
Hurricane Hercules.
Hurricane Hercules. Now, that would scare everybody. Hey, I don't think they would ever do that because they wouldn't want to scare everybody completely out of their wits. But that's a good name.
Hurricane Trump.
So it's now wending its way past our peninsula, correct?
Yeah, it's pretty much around... it's pretty much around the Georgia-Florida border right now.
Okay.
And then it's got just a little bit of time before it actually hits land.
Well, it's expected to make landfall in the Carolinas sometime today before spreading its impact along the eastern seaboard. It may go up as far as Maine. Once it gets going, you know, it's kind of like a little top. You know,
but the good thing is it's a very fast-moving storm.
Yeah.
The ones that are really devastating is the ones that move like 5, 10 miles an hour and they just dump rain like crazy. This one's moving about 15, 17 miles an hour. So it's pretty quick. Yeah.
We want that.
And it's in and it's out.
Well, that's very good. It's funny. It's almost an afterthought, isn't it, with the pandemic and all these other things that
are going
on.
Takes your mind off the pandemic for about a minute.
Yeah, we have a nice hurricane.
Yeah, for about a minute and a half.
You know, a little relief from the pandemic. Yeah. We'll think about a hurricane.
Now, if we could only get an earthquake.
Well, they can do that over on the other coast.
Mm.
All right. We're going to take our break. When we come back, Ryan Young of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, we're going to talk about the gross domestic product.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey guys, Andrew's Master Barber Shop is open for business. The best haircutter in Tampa Bay, standing ready to make you look like a million. But you'll need to call to grab a time that's right for you. So call Nicole at 733-3773. That's 733-3773. And then get ready for a treat. No waiting, beautiful, clean, and safe facilities. The best haircut you'll ever experience, and a great price. You can't ask for more, guys. That's Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. Call 733-3773. That's 733-3773.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's to your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back and delighted to have Ryan Young join us again from the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where he is a senior fellow. And we're going to talk to him a little bit about something that I don't think, Ryan, a lot of people are totally cognizant of, the gross domestic product. First of all, before we get into whether or not it's as bad as they are saying, could you give us quickly a little definition of the gross domestic product?
Sure. I mean, if you want to encapsulate the economy in one number, well, you can't. But GDP is the closest there is. If you add up all of the things that people make and all of the things that people buy, that number is gross domestic product, or GDP. So that's essentially how we measure the size of the economy. In the U.S., it's about $21 or $22 trillion, so it's pretty big.
$21 to $22 trillion. That includes farming, right?
That's right.
Everything. Okay. Now, that's pretty easy to remember. I appreciate that. Now, you say the good news about the latest info on this, that the GDP, or gross domestic product numbers, not nearly as bad as the headlines are saying. Now, they're talking about the fact that it's, 32.9% decline? That's kind of scary. Why would you say that, Ryan?
That's the biggest decline in U.S. history, and that was one of the biggest news stories of not just last week, but of the year. I mean, this is historic stuff we're talking about. It would essentially mean that $21 or $22 trillion number has shrunk by a third just during the time of the pandemic. Fortunately, that turns out not to be true. Of course, the bad news is that it's still the worst drop in U.S. history, but at least it's not 32.9% bad.
Really? Okay. Why is it not 32.9?
Because that number isn't what just happened. It's what would happen if the rate of decline that we saw in the last quarter with all the lockdowns and social distancing were to happen for a whole year. So if we kept up that rate of economic decline for a whole year, that's what would happen. But that's not likely to come to pass.
Now, then we've been kind of misled. I don't know if that's intentional or not by the media, but I honestly thought it had dropped 32.9%. But you're saying, no, it would over a year if it continued this way.
Yeah, that's right. What did happen, there are a couple of different ways to look at it, and both of them are pretty simple. A lot of people will see numbers that are seasonally adjusted, and that's actually pretty simple. For example, during the Christmas season, people do a lot of spending, but during other parts of the year, the economy is slower. So the way to compensate for that is you just look at what things were like a year ago. So the numbers that just came out were for the second quarter of this year. How did that compare to last quarter? That's all seasonal adjustment is. It's, as my five-year-old daughter says, easy peasy lemon squeezy. And that decline...
I like it.
That decline isn't 30... Yeah, that number isn't a 32.9% decline. It's 9.5%. From a year ago, the economy has shrunk 9.5%
really?
Since the pandemic.
Well, that's much
that's
more...
Still,
yeah, but it's not... I mean, it's that's a lot... That's a, that doesn't make you feel quite as bad.
No, and then the quarter-to-quarter change, which is what a lot of people just think when they see the number... That's 7%. That's the change from the first quarter of the year to the second quarter. The economy shrank by 7%.
Okay.
One of those numbers isn't necessarily better than the other. It's good to know both because they have different purposes. You can't encapsulate the whole economy in just one number. There is no silver bullet. But we do know that at least the 32.9% number that a lot of people are seeing is unfortunately not what has actually happened.
Wow. We're talking with Ryan Young. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. He knows of what he speaks when we talk about things like numbers and finances and economy and everything else. Now, Ryan, in your piece, you say we do have some things that we should do to fight both the virus and help the economy. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, the first of those things is to just be prudent. We can control the virus if people do wear masks and practice social distancing. I'm in the rare position of being strongly in favor of wearing masks in public, but also against mandates because they can backfire. They can cause resentment. They can cause the police to do things to people that they shouldn't, we'll put it politely. So if people are prudent, not necessarily living in a hermetic seal, but being prudent, thinking of people in their lives who are elderly or have health conditions or a high-risk job, if people are prudent, we can do a lot to help get the virus under control and get things moving again. So that way the 32.9% projection does not come to pass. And the other thing we can do to help the economy is to loosen up a lot of regulations that prevent businesses from getting started, permits that prevent factories from retooling to make new medical equipment or FDA approval process that are keeping potential treatments off the market. All sorts of regulations that really should no longer be on the books.
Right now,
especially during a pandemic.
Isn't Trump trying to do that with the regulations? He's, you know, that's one of the things that he's been crowing about, that he has been loosening regulations. Isn't that still going on?
That is. In fact, between what President Trump has done and what the states and local officials have done, about 800 regulations have come off the books. The trouble is that there are about 1.1 million federal regulations on the books.
Oh,
so
God.
There's...
Really?
We have a good start, but there's more to do.
1.1 million?
If you want, you can... And if you want, you can order the entire code of federal regulations from the government printing office. They will send you more than 200 volumes that total 185,000 pages.
Now, there isn't a person on this planet that's read it. And so, therefore, nobody really knows what the regulations are. No wonder we're in such a mess all the time with regulation. But it certainly makes sense. Are there any other things, wearing masks? Cutting back on regulations. I'm worried about so many businesses. Look at the restaurant industry. I mean, they operate on very low profit levels to begin with, and then you shut them down for all of this time, or bars. I mean, you want to see safety, but, the mandates, and then, of course, we have the schools, and I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a learning process, isn't it, Ryan?
That's exactly what it is. People are learning how to adapt. And while I think even with the school year about to start up, people are still learning, I do think that with the adaptations we've already made and starting to get used to the new reality, that's why I think we're still going to have a lot more economic pain, but I also don't think we're going to see that 32.9% projection actually come to pass. I think people are more resilient than that. We have to help each other
right
where we can.
I hear this conspiracy thing. Maybe you've heard it too, that as soon as we get to the election day, the virus will be gone. Have you ever heard anyone say that? I've heard that said. And I go, what? As if, somehow the government is running things and it's a political act. Crazy, crazy, crazy. I mean, but I guess it leads to other thoughts about other, so-called conspiracies. The thing about the masks, some people think, oh, this is a conspiracy with the masks. They're not doing any good. And with the school system, it's an effort by one group to try to dumb us down or try to really wreck the economy or whatever. You hear a lot of, I guess it's because people panic and we've never gone through this before.
That and people have an inborn tendency to think that somebody has to be in charge of something. Somebody has to be planned. It's a virus. It doesn't care if people are Republican or Democrat. It doesn't have a conscious will or plan. It's a virus, and our human brains don't necessarily wrap itself around that very well, but it is, in fact, the case. There's no conspiracy here.
Right. Oh, I agree. The people kind of feel like they went through a wave with this, and now it's time for us to come out. And yet, look at the numbers, and I don't think the numbers lie, do they? I mean, it doesn't look like we've gotten kind of over the hump yet, right?
It does look that way. I mean, you can quibble with the numbers as far as decimal points go, but ballpark, yes, they're right, and we're still in the thick of it.
Yeah. So these are good ideas with the gross domestic product. We all worry. I worry about the stock market. I worry about all of these businesses surviving. We've basically left it in the hands of the governors. Our Constitution allows local and state to, you know, to kind of oversee these kinds of things. I guess the federal government, to some extent, Trump has brought in, you know, warnings. He will do this if that isn't done, and this if that isn't done. But the truth is that the state governors hold a lot of power in this, right?
As they should. Part of trial is error. And we've seen states like Michigan make errors in one direction with being too strict. We've seen other states make errors in being too loose. And there's the simple fact that things in Florida are different than they are in, say, Wisconsin or the Dakotas or California. Different conditions need to be adapted to differently, and governors are better placed to do that than the federal government is.
Right. So overall, I know you can't project. Nobody knows how long this virus will be with us, and they're working on a vaccine and everything. But do you think our economy is going to hold tough?
In the long run, I am very much an optimist. I think we'll be back to normal, but I also think it's going to take years. I hope that we're through the worst of the immediate economic crash because people are in the thick of the new reality. But we're also going to be in some form of downturn until there's a vaccine that's widely available or another treatment that's effective and widespread enough to get to everybody to get us to herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be in it for maybe another year, hopefully less. I wish I could say.
What about the stimulus that they're working on, the White House and Congress? They seem to be butting heads a little bit. Are we going to get anywhere with that soon, do you think?
They will, because it's a must-pass bill, but I also don't think it's going to do as much good as people hope it does, mm-hmm. because it's taking money from one part of the economy and putting it into another. You don't create net wealth that way, so it's going to not affect economic growth at all. It's not going to really push that GDP number.
Are you a fan of these stimulus checks?
In some ways, they're helpful, but overall, I don't think they're the most effective way to deal with things. But it's better than more politicized spending projects, like some influential congressman's districts getting extra goodies, that sort of thing.
Do you think these checks in any way, and also the unemployment checks, contribute to the unemployment problem right now?
They are, and more than I thought they would. It's not going to be the death of people trying to find work again, but I was surprised at how strongly the larger checks are disincentivizing people from trying to find work. So that is definitely a factor. Part of the unemployment numbers we're seeing is because people are getting more from their stimulus checks than they are by working.
I just wonder if we didn't have the federal government kind of sticking its paws into this whole thing. I wonder if leaving the states to deal with that kind of a thing would have been a wiser move. What do you think?
It might have been. I mean, people need money. People need help. Is the federal government the best vehicle for doing that? I don't think it is.
I don't
but
either.
Since the 1930s or so, a lot of private giving in that area has been displaced by the government, so we don't have the private infrastructure to do that. So what do? We're not in a good place to give optimal aid, so we kind of have to do what we have available to us.
You know, it's an interesting thing, and I'm going to let you go in a minute here, but that we talk about federalism or indeed, states' rights, and the strength of states and the Constitution being set up to make the states actually stronger than the federal government, limiting what the federal government can do. And yet, as a country or as a society or as a culture, we always seem to have this desire to slide more power back upstairs to the federal government. Do you feel that at all? It seems to me that there's some truth to that.
There is, and Thomas Jefferson warned of the same thing back in his day. It's a longstanding human tendency, just for the same reason that a lot of people seem to think that someone is in charge of the virus and has the power to make it appear or disappear.
Yeah.
People think that someone has the power to run the economy for good or for bad. That's not the case. Things are much more decentralized than people seem to think. And that's just something psychologically human.
I guess we are. We'd like to have a daddy. You know,
yeah,
we like to
exactly
have a daddy
right.
That we can run to. And that's kind of, maybe that's part of it. Anyway, very interesting, Ryan. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. You make so much sense. And thank you very, very much. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
All right. Ryan Young, Competitive Enterprise Institute. I don't know who's coming on next, Ed. I'm hoping maybe we'll have one of the two Sorace brothers. Typically on Mondays, we have Angelo, but I heard our feisty friend Andrew. We'll see anyway, because we want to talk no matter what. But Joe Biden, he's extended his time now in selecting a vice presidential running mate, and now his former press secretary is telling him, do not debate Donald Trump.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 in Dunedin. But you got to call for your appointment. Just phone 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. You'll get the best haircut in Tampa Bay and at a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin, 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tantalk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We will concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up, every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday on Freedom Works, and we're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And we thank you so very much for tuning in. Well, violent crime surge. Well, we got the pandemic. Now we also got the violent crime surge across the country. Cities like Atlanta, where during the most recent month period, they had 66 shootings and 106 victims compared to 26 and 40 same time last year. Chicago, you know about that. Huge increase in crime. Houston, murders in Houston have increased by 37%. Los Angeles, a recent surge in violence there. 14 fatal shootings, most recently there from July 8th to the end of June. New York City, numbers skyrocketing there. And here I see that first-time gun ownership is skyrocketing. A lot of people are talking about getting guns or getting them. We got Andrew the Master Barber with us, which is a pleasant surprise for Monday. And Andrew, I know how you feel about gun ownership, and I know how you feel about the crime increases. We know that. But are we? Is this going to settle down, do you think, before the elections in November? And if it does not, if it continues, all of this trouble, is that a good thing or a bad thing for Donald Trump?
Well, Paul, first of all, none of this is going to end until November the 5th. You know that.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Will go on until November the 5th because the 3rd is the election. The 4th, they're going to have to recount everything because they aren't going to believe the results of what happens when Trump just landslides them. So this will all end on the 5th.
Okay.
But, you know, Paul, what could you expect with the crime when they're promoting defund the police, go war against the police, letting all this stuff happen? What do you expect is going to happen?
Yeah, I think that there is a reaction, both with people that are going to take advantage and with people that are going, what's going on in our cities?
That's right. That's right. And you know, as long as they let it happen, it's going to keep happening. But people are fed up with it, Paul.
Right.
People are definitely fed up with it. And like I told you before, in Nixon's election in 64, he won because of the riots. People were fed up with it.
That was a good part of it. 1968, everybody was running around. That's all right. They were running around. I remember, God, shows you how old I am. I was working at WGN Chicago at the time, right in the heart of all of that. And I do indeed remember all of that. I want to talk with you a little bit about Joe Biden. Joe Biden was supposed to have his vice presidential pick by now. And now I'm reading where he's extending his search for as much as 2 weeks. How come he can't land somebody? I mean, we got Kamala Harris, and we got all kinds of Val Demer, I guess, from Orlando.
Paul, the Democrats are counting on one thing, Paul. The Democrats are counting on hate Trump. Like you said, look at his campaign manager. Do not, we don't want you to debate Trump. You stay in the closet. Let's keep putting off your vice president candidate. They think they're going to win because there's enough people out there that hate Trump. Don't they realize they love Trump so much? The guy circled the capsule in a Trump boat yesterday.
He what?
Come on, man. Trump,
the guy that
they
came
have
down?
No idea, Paul.
I'm sorry, about the capsule? What was that again?
The space capsule landed in the Gulf of Mexico yesterday.
Yes, it did, near the Panhandle, right?
Okay, right. And as soon as it landed, here comes a couple of boats with Trump flags on them, circling them.
They did?
Yes, they did. Okay, now they're out in the freaking Gulf promoting Trump. Let's be real. They're all over the place.
Now,
let me tell you something. Yeah. Trump is going and spreading faster than the coronavirus.
Oh, the Trump fever.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, the Trump fever, and let me tell you, it's getting stronger every day, Paul. You know, just like the radio said, and he came at the airport. There was a few people there. There were over 1,000 people standing in 110-degree feels like temperature waiting to greet this man.
Very hot.
Okay? And you think they're going to do that for Joe Biden? Come on.
I want to just kind of enjoy this moment here. Joe Lockhart, the former press secretary to Biden, penned an op-ed in the paper. He's telling Joe to skip the debates. He says, whatever you do, don't debate Trump.
He's going to destroy you. He told him.
No, wait. Now, let me finish. You're putting words in his mouth. Then he goes on to say, Trump has made more than 20,000 misleading or false statements, according to the Washington Post. It's a fool's errand to enter the ring with someone who can't follow the rules or the truth. He says Biden will undoubtedly take heat from Republicans and the media for skipping the debates, but it's worth the risk, as trying to debate someone incapable of telling the truth is an impossible contest to win. What? I have never heard such an excuse as to say, I'm not going to go in the debates. You know why? Because the other guy won't tell the truth. So therefore, I'm not going up on stage. Isn't that crazy?
That's right. That's kind of like the dog eat your homework. Huh?
Yeah. What? What?
Paul,
if he's telling someone. Go ahead.
They're being ridiculous. Totally, totally ridiculous. Come on. I don't think they're going to stand. I think we're going to rock the House, completely take over the House. I think they're going to get rid of Pelosi, Schumer, and Humpty Dumpty.
And I believe, and I should write this down, because it's a long shot as far as I'm concerned, I believe you thought and think that California might go for Trump.
That's right. California's fat, Paul, let me tell you something. You might see Oregon go for Trump.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. My wonderful sister, Lisa, who is one of our most devoted listeners out in California, San Diego area, she tells me how upset so many people are around her about all of these things. She's a very devoted Trump supporter, very, very much in tune with wanting to see this country do well. And I think she would tend to believe that there might be a possibility just based on these governor, the governor who she says is really not someone she's comfortable with. Go ahead.
And he's really well liked there, I understand.
Oh, boy.
Paul, listen, the fact is this. You have how many people out rioting and causing these problems, and you have how many citizens living in these states? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. The numbers are
the citizens. The numbers can't be there. I can't believe there's many people rioting or the amount of people in the states. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure.
Probably 4% of the population.
It's just a very small fraction. Everybody else is looking at this and going, what are we doing?
That's right.
Oh, there's no
I'm
question
telling you,
about that.
I think you're going to see a red tsunami, buddy.
You know, I go back and forth, and I've said this before with you. On the one hand, I really do believe that we can see that. I really do. Then the other thing comes into my mind, but this pandemic, it's like nothing.
Paul, people are over the pandemic. I'm telling you, they can talk about it all they want on the news. Go out and look around you. The people don't care, Paul. They're over it.
You think so? Really?
It's overstayed its welcome, especially on the news, Paul. People are tired of hearing.
Well,
Here's what they hear.
That I agree
they hear COVID, 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 Trump, Trump, my pillow. COVID, Trump, my pillow.
Pillow.
I mean, come on, man. People are tired of it.
My pillow. Yeah, I am kind of tired of that guy, but he's a big-time Trump supporter. We're talking about the guy.
Oh, God bless him. God bless Mike Lindell. He does
Mike
great.
Lindell, he's a great spokesman. You can tell he's got his heart. Yeah, you know, he's got his heart where his words are, and he's very much a Trump supporter. I'll be honest with you, Andrew. I bought a couple of his pillows.
There you go.
Yeah.
You like them?
Yes, they are good. You know what they do? And I'm honest about this. What you do is you kind of fluff it up, and then you put your head on it, and it kind of keeps your head up. It doesn't. Your head doesn't sink way down. You know, so you got sort of a straight line from your head to your neck and chest. I do think it makes a bit of a difference. I'll be honest.
Well, I better get you to do a testimonial.
I should.
I'm going to call him up and tell him, hey, Paul Malloy wants to do a testimonial. Anyway, Paul, I see a landslide for the Republicans in this next election. I really tell you, I really think that California is going to go red, man.
Wow. All right. Now, I want to talk a little bit local politics with you, Andrew. I was very jealous. You went on Good Morning Clearwater. I come in the studio and I hear you talk with them and I go, what? Am I late for my show? And Andrew's already on?
Yeah.
But no, they're great guys. And by the way, I want to put in a plug for their great show, Paul.
I think they do a great job. I love listening to them. They crack me up in the morning.
They're very, very good, and the energy that they have, and they work so well. Anyway, they're going to join us a week from tomorrow over at the Republican headquarters here for Pinellas County Republicans, and we're going to do 3 straight hours. With
That's
them.
Right.
We're going to have all kinds
I can't
of,
wait. I can't wait. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have the people out there showing the support that we have for our great Republican candidates, and we're hoping that they mop the floor with the Democrats, Paul. Mop the floor.
Yeah.
Hey, you notice how popular the athletes are getting lately, huh? They're all watching their sports, aren't they? With the Black Lives Matters on the courts, the Black Lives Matters jerseys. Paul,
yeah.
I understand that McDonald's is hiring for the curbside service, and I think most of these athletes are going to be applying for that job in about 2 months.
Well, look at Major League Baseball.
Done.
I don't think they're going to let. What do you think, Ed? You're a sports expert. Do you think the Major League Baseball season is going to last? Are they going to shut it down?
Well, the way the Rays are playing, I hope they do.
Okay. Well, that's just coming from a fan. I want some. Do you think that they're going to shut down baseball because of the virus? It seems to me there's a good chance.
I think if another widespread outbreak comes out, you're going to see a lot of players start opting out, and then they'll have to.
I think they're going to opt out because they can't afford to pay them because people aren't watching.
You know,
that's why they're going to opt out, and they're going to blame it on the virus instead of what they did.
Now, I have not seen any Nielsen numbers or whatever for television ratings. It'll be very interesting to see. But I think, in a way, you're right, Andrew. People have a lot more on their mind than normal.
That's right. That's right. Hey, they want to survive. They're afraid to walk out their doors without getting beat up. they're afraid to go to the St. Pete Pier because the entertainment for the weekend is Black Lives Matters at the entrance. Come on.
Hey, I want to ask real quick, how's business going? Is it still pretty slow based on the virus thing?
Paul, you know, I haven't lost any weight from not being able to afford to eat.
Good.
My house isn't under foreclosure yet, so I thank God. I think I'm doing great.
Oh, that's
and I'm going to sweat this out until Trump gets reelected again, buddy.
Well, you got the best haircut facility in Tampa Bay, that I know, and your prices are great, and it's always so clean. When I talk
and
about
Paul, I'm not afraid to say that I back Donald Trump in my business. You know,
I know.
I'm not afraid to say it, buddy.
You got a 6-foot cardboard cutout of the guy standing there. I think people know.
I've got every Donald Trump toy. I think I got every Donald Trump Trump toy they ever made in my shop.
Well, I tell you what, my friend, may the Trump be with you. Thank you for coming on. I expected your brother.
See, you got the surprises. At least you're not bored today.
Oh, wait till your brother hears that.
All right. He probably is. He's probably listening.
Oh, great. Well, thank you so much, Andrew. I'll be talking with you, I hope, tomorrow.
You got it, buddy.
All right.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, Bye-bye. My friend. Bye. The master barber himself, Andrew. Okay, let's take our break when we come back. Among other things, our ultimate top 10 will give us the top 10 greatest movie villains of all time. I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a
holler. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580 in Dunedin. But you got to call for your appointment. Just phone 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. You'll get the best haircut in Tampa Bay and at a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. 727-733-3773.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Just listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Thank you so very much for joining us here on Freedom Works. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the hockey season with our sports expert here, Big Ed. Because he knows a lot about what is going on, and he's in the locker room a lot of times in certain sports, football among them, baseball, talking with some of the athletes. So, Ed, we got, I think, the Tampa Bay Lightning, and this is really an extension of the 2019-20 season. Mm. We're just picking up again, and we're going right into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay is seeded because they did fairly well. They have, like, I guess you could call it a bye in the first round because they've already started the, for lack of a better term, the weaker teams playing each other.
Yeah.
And now Tampa Bay is going to be playing the Capitals at 4 o'clock. But how healthy are they? Have you been reading up on any of that?
Basically, they are healthy. Other than Stamkos, I don't see any real problems. And are you sure that's at 4 o'clock? I thought it was later. Because it says
I thought it was at 4 o'clock. Now, maybe I'm wrong. We'll double check it. How about that?
I just looked and it was on, it is on the usual Fox Sun.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. If you've got regular cable, it's 31.
Yeah, Fox Sun is a network for Tampa Bay
they
area.
They usually carry the Rays, but the Rays are off tonight.
Baseball, carries baseball. And But, okay, maybe it's not 4 o'clock. I thought the last I saw, unless they changed it, that they were going to have a... They're all playing in the same...
You're right. Here it is, 4 o'clock. It says the Flyers are at the Lightning.
It's the Flyers or the Capitals? I think it's the Capitals, but maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, let's for sure, the Lightning is playing at 4. And they're playing in Toronto, you know. All the Eastern Conference teams are assembled in Toronto that are involved in the playoffs.
Yeah, it says Flyers. Flyers at Lightning.
Okay, maybe it's Philadelphia. Mm. Either way, it'll be interesting. Mm. And in the West Conference, they're all assembled in Edmonton.
Yeah.
So they're only playing in these two ice rinks for the entire playoffs until they come to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, the bubble system's working. Nobody's testing positive.
Well, so far, you're right. I mean, I wonder in hockey, gosh knows. Now, can you wear a mask and a helmet at the same time and get away with it?
Well, I don't think they have to.
No, I don't think so either. They're not wearing masks, right?
No, I don't believe so.
No, they're not.
I've not seen them wear masks.
I saw the Blackhawk game the other day. They were not. They were playing just like it was normal.
Yeah.
And did you know they also play the music? There's no booing. Doesn't make any difference. Like, the Blackhawks were playing in Edmonton,
right,
against Edmonton, and there was no booing. It was always just cheering. If either one scored.
That's the way baseball's doing the same thing.
Yeah. So, and speaking of baseball, I'm wondering if we really are going to see them close the season down on...
If there's one more bad outbreak, a widespread outbreak, and they may have to shut some teams down, and then that wouldn't be fair, and you just close it down, and... I just think that if there's a domino effect of big-name players that start opting out, then they'd have to shut it down.
Do you think because of the politics involved, particularly in baseball, and maybe they're playing basketball right now, and basketball, pro basketball, has gotten very political with people taking a knee or even walking off the court before the national anthem. Mm. Do you think that affects viewership on television?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Yeah, and if they were smart, they just wouldn't show it, you know?
I'm thinking you're right.
Why not play
it?
Just because you got a few bad apples doesn't mean everybody's going to suffer. I as a fan, look forward to the national anthem. I do. And so I said, leave the players when football comes back. Leave the players in the locker room.
I think that's a good point.
Play the anthem, then introduce them.
Yeah, I think you might. I think that's a good point. I really do. So we don't have to worry about any politics being shown on the camera.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's, you take it away. Now, was it last year, the year before, when it first started, they stopped showing players on the sideline? In other words, when they show the anthem, they show a picture of Brady with his helmet and the coach with his hand over his heart, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Now they just, or they back then they would just show people in the stands.
Yeah.
So just take it away from them. That's all.
Did all of this whole thing start with Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
They didn't do any of this before him, right?
No, he's the one that started it.
Yeah. Actually, in 1968, I know you'll talk about my age here, but in 1968, there was an Olympics, I forget where, and a couple of the black athletes, the gold and silver American athletes, they were, I think, track and field, raised the black power fist. Yeah. Have you ever seen that picture?
Yeah, I did. I've seen that. Yeah.
So there has been in the past some politics involved in a ceremony like that.
Yeah, but, I mean, unless you knew what he was doing, people put their fist in the air, pump their fist in the air, and go, yeah. But taking a knee is something, totally different.
Right.
So.
Yeah, they didn't take a knee, and they were playing the Star Spangled Banner, when the gold medal is an American, they'll play the national anthem of the country. And they did raise their fist.
What's funny is in hockey. Now in hockey, and I believe in in baseball they don't, do they? Or maybe they do. Now if there's a team from Canada, let's say the Blue Jays, don't they play
in hockey?
But in baseball, too, don't they play the national anthem of the team?
I don't think so.
From Canada?
I think it's strictly hockey, and the reason is because hockey was so dominant in Canada that national anthem became very, you know.
Because
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure that came up because they stood. They stood for the Canadian one, and when they played the USA one, they knelt. And that's what was so bizarre. They stood for the Canadian one and knelt for ours.
Yes.
Yeah. Disgusting.
Very interesting.
You know, if they keep saying, oh, it's not about the anthem, but then don't do it during the anthem. You just want it because that's the only time you're going to be guaranteed coverage.
I'll tell you one thing. It's not going to gain viewership to do it. It's going to gain viewership.
Leave them in the locker room.
Right. Okay. Hey, from sports to the movies, and we have a good one, Ed. This is the top 10 greatest movie villains. If you recall, Friday we did the top 10 greatest movie heroes, and you were close. But you weren't close enough. You thought, I think, maybe you didn't. But you weren't close to getting the real guy. The guy that was number one was Atticus Finch from To Kill a Mockingbird. I would never have gotten that, ever. James Bond was second, and I would have had a shot at saying yes. Mm. All right, let's see if you can do a little better on the movie villains, all right? This comes from the American Film Institute, and gosh knows, I think the villains are more fun than the heroes. So here we go, number 10. The Evil Queen in Snow White. Wow. By the way, it was voiced by a woman by the name of Lucille Laverne. Nobody would have known that. It came out in 1937. Number 9. You remember Reagan, the little girl in The Exorcist?
Yes.
She's number 9.
Okay.
Linda Blair. She was a scary little devil. 1973's The Exorcist. Number 8. Barbara Stanwyck won it for number 8. She played a woman named Phyllis in Double Indemnity. It's one of the all-time great movies. I've seen it on television. Just saw it the other day again, 1944. Number 7. Hey, I wonder if you remember this one, Ed. Do you remember Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction?
Yeah.
Remember she comes out of the bathtub she goes after him again?
Yep.
Well, she's number 7. The name of the character was Alex Forrest.
Yeah.
She was a scary one, a creepy one. Number 6. Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life. You've seen the movie on TV, the It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart?
No.
Wow. It's the all-time favorite Christmas movie.
I know. I'm not a Jimmy Stewart fan, and
I love Jimmy Stewart.
It's an hour and a half. I can't get back.
How can you not like the great Jimmy Stewart? Yeah. Anyway, Mr. Potter was the bad old man played by Lionel Barrymore. Number 5. Do you remember Nurse Ratched?
No.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest?
No.
Really, Jack Nicholson, one of his best movies. Louise Fletcher as Nurse Ratched. Number 4. Now, this one you're going to know from TV. The Wicked Wist.
Witch.
Thank you.
That was my number one.
Well, that would have been a good one. You remember who played it?
No.
Margaret Hamilton. She was a dear, great actress. 1939. Number 3. I'm going to take another one of your picks away. Darth Vader.
Yeah.
From all of the Star Wars movies, multiple times, right?
Yeah.
Okay. By the way, David Prowse was the guy that actually played that character. And James Earl Jones was the voice.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed. All right, number 2. Okay, and I want to see if you'll know, if I tell you the name of the villain, if you'll know the movie. Norman Bates.
Yeah, of course. Psycho.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Do you remember who played it?
Yeah. I forget his name.
That's all right. Anthony Perkins.
Wow.
Was he ever a scary guy?
Yeah, he did three of those.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. Second one was good. Third one was just...
Well, the best was the original 1960 Psycho. No doubt about it. All right, Ed, here we go. What do you think is the number one greatest movie villain of all time? And I know you've seen the movie. It's not that long ago.
I'm going to say maybe something like Batman the Joker or something like that.
Okay. Roll the drums. Hannibal Lecter.
Oh, yeah.
Silence of the Lambs. Anthony Hopkins, 1991. He scared the bejesus out of everybody. All right, there you go, my friends. Thank you so very much. We will be back tomorrow. Always remember, freedom works.